declaring the salvation of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, we do ask both for your prayerful and financial support to keep these radio broadcasts coming to you. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264, or visit our website, agradio.org. You can now donate online if that's something that you'd like to do. We're thankful for all of your support. Thank you for all of you who have sent in support. We are very grateful, and we consider this a great privilege to bring these programs to you on a daily basis. Well, we're continuing 2 Timothy chapter 4, and here we're looking at the calling that the Holy Spirit has given to the ministers of the word to preach the word in season and out of season. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the previous chapter, he warned that in the last days, perilous times would come. I've always been amazed by how he described that. Dangerous seasons. He warned of all of these people who would rise up and have a form of godliness but deny its power. And it concerned him that there would be these evil men and imposters who grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so he's looking at Timothy, and he's giving him the single great charge that burdens him the most. Listen to verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. Paul's entire charge to Timothy is motivated by the coming of Christ, the coming judgment, as if to say, this judgment is coming, my son. You have to be faithful in what I'm charging you with because salvation is at stake. Now I pause today, and I say, see how weighty this is? See how important this is? Where anything and everything goes today in the ministry? What we're doing in the church is one single, simple, great calling. It is to advance the ministry of the word faithfully. Without the word, everything else we do is pointless. So this is really important because this charge made to a pastor is made possible by faithful men who are set apart, who care, and see to it that this is happening. And that's how it has a direct bearing on you. So here the apostle lays forth three things for Timothy to do, to give himself to, that this would happen in the church for the salvation of those who believe, right? First, what it is, preach the word in season and out of season. So here we see the importance that the greatest responsibility that we have in the church of Jesus Christ over everything else that's done, the focal point of what the church does is the preaching of the word. Now, I guess it goes without saying today, you know, we live in a culture that says, don't preach to me. And everything else in the church today is not centered around the preaching of the word. Everything else is front and center. Everything else to entertain. Everything else to hold people. And yet we've not listened to the Lord very carefully. It pleased God, 1 Corinthians 2, through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. If there's anything I've learned in the ministry, it's that when this becomes the focal point of a church, when the people have become satisfied in this, there, dear listener, you will see the greatest blessing of the Lord. I was talking with someone the other day who was telling me about their church, and this is just such a common experience. There's so many churches out there struggling, and they're trying to keep their people. They're trying to hold on to them. They don't know what to do, and they're always regrouping. They're always talking about how to kickstart their church. And so they've got all these new ideas, all these new mission statements, all these new goals. I mean, it just everything under the sun to try to figure out how to make their church relevant when you got the best hipster church down the street doing the most relevant stuff, you know? And, you know, they went through all of these lists of desires and wants. And it was interesting to me that the one thing that was last on the list as a need for their church was the preaching of the word. I don't know how much we have to say this, and I don't realize, and I guess I don't understand why this is so difficult, because the calling, this is not rocket science. The word of God, when it is faithfully preached, is God's power to save. When it is central and everyone is excited about it, I mean it, people are coming up to the house of the Lord excited to hear the word. They've come for that. When that center piece is in place, when the pulpit is there, not yanked, all of your desires and all of your wants for something bigger and better go away. I promise you. You won't even be having a discussion about other things. When the preaching of the word is in place as it should be, it's so satisfying, so fulfilling, so exciting. You're not talking about a better praise song. You've tasted the powers of God as you should. So what does he say second here? First, he says, preach the word. And he says, be ready in season and out of season. In other words, be ready with the word. You have to know the word. You have to love the word. As the pastor preaches that word, the word is being used to speak to God's people in a variety of different ways. There are times when it's hard. There are times when the word is welcomed, and there are times when the word is not welcomed. And my calling is to preach whatever the text says. What the Lord does for his preachers is he places a burden on their hearts for them to say what he has burdened them to say. And as the preacher works through the given text, I've experienced that the Lord is constantly taking his word and applying it just to the needs of his people. Sometimes I've gone home and wept because I've had to say things that were hard. Other times I've been on cloud nine because the comfort and encouragement was so perfect to the needs of the people. Paul is saying here, whenever welcomed or not, we have to be ready. Ready for what? To use it. That's what he says here, number three. He says, convince, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Part of our job is to correct and, if needed, rebuke. And we do this with all long-suffering, and literally it means to abide under, giving the sense of perseverance, enduring in the reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. For what end? That all God's people would be instructed in righteousness. Now that's the charge. That's the call. Just keep it in front of you. Preach the word in season, out of season. There's your calling as churches. There's your calling for your pastors. You don't need to do anything else. Just preach that word. I want to focus on now why this is so important. Paul's not writing this just for Timothy's sake. He's writing it for you, dear listener, that you would care deeply about this. Because all of this becomes a grand encouragement for us to continue in something that's very difficult to maintain. I love what William Hendrickson says. Let him speak out while people are still willing to listen, because they will not always be willing to listen. Listen to verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There are these times coming, epochs, times of distress. This is why he just said, keep preaching in all seasons. There will be times when things are good, but the word will be heard, and then there will be these dangerous seasons. Now, that gets to what he said. In season and out of season, you preach the word in times when it's welcomed and not. But in chapter 3, verse 1, remember what he said? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, their interest only being in their own glory, lovers of money, they're worldly, boasters, proud. They will not submit their lives to Christ. I mean, that's what he's saying. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That is a sense of disdain for the previous generation, writing off everything they've learned. Their lives are unthankful, unholy, unloving. They're irreconcilable. They're in disputes with brothers that remain unreconciled. They slander. They're without self-control. They're brutal. They're despisers of good. They're traitors, headstrong. They just can't receive correction. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And he says, outwardly they have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. In other words, they wear the mask, but it's all artificial and false. Now, that's a summary. But in verse 3 of chapter 4, he warns of the most damaging and the most destructive, dangerous time or season that arises in the life of the church. I want you to listen to this today and ask the question, are we in this? Are we living it? And I want you to ask the question, am I tolerating this? Am I accepting of this? I'm going to say this week, but I'll say it even now. Listen, today is a recovery. Today is a recovery. Yes, ministry is about reaching out to the lost, but today is a recovery of many so-called Christians who have either defected from the doctrines of the Christian faith or are spiritually starving under false ministries and don't even realize it, have endured it, have put up with it, have accepted it. The time will come, says Paul, when they will not endure sound doctrine. You're going to come to a time when the truth will not matter to people. Here's what you can expect. You will undoubtedly face a time in your service in Christ Church when they, those who now listen, are not going to put up with it anymore. They're not going to bear it. They're not going to accept the truth as valid. They will have heard it. They're tired of it. They don't like it. They will turn from it. They will reject it. Paul says they will want other things. You have to understand how relevant this is. You know, here Paul is speaking to a young pastor who's ministering in a pagan environment. And what pressures he was feeling. How is the church going to be able to survive in this overwhelmingly pagan, hostile culture? How can we make a difference at all? How can we be effective? And isn't that just what we struggle with today? What we struggle with is verse 4. They won't endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. This is exactly, dear listener, what we're being exposed to today. I'm going to come back to what this fables means, but they're being turned aside to whatever they want in the ministry. And you know what they're not getting? They're not getting pastors anymore who open up the Word of God and who exposit and preach the Word in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. It's all about little anecdotal stories. It's all about the personality of the pastor. And no one's getting saved under ministries like that. Preach the Word in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. This is God's power to save. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, so we humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.